This episode of Apple at Work is sponsored by Muzzle. Deploying, managing, and protecting Apple devices at work shouldn't be difficult or require several solutions. Muzzle is the only Apple unified platform for business. By combining enhanced device management, endpoint security, internet privacy and security, single sign-on, and enhanced app management into a single Apple-only platform, businesses can now easily and automatically deploy, manage, protect their Apple devices automatically with one solution at an affordable price. With a solution for every business size and the best support in the market, start a free 30-day trial and see firsthand why Muzzle is more than an Apple MDM. Muzzle is everything you need to work with Apple. To learn more, visit business.mozle.com. That's business.mozle.com. Thanks to Mozle for sponsoring Apple at Work this week.
Welcome to Apple at Work, the podcast all about Apple and the enterprise. My name is Bradley Chambers, your host as always. This week on the show, we have first-time guest Brad Kowalk from Hero Assistant. He's the CEO. Brad, welcome to Apple at Work.
Thanks for having me.
I'm going to title this the meeting of the Brads, I think, on the show title. So we'll have to do that. It'll be perfect. We'll get a little bit more into Hero Assistant, but what we really wanted to talk about today is kind of like the future of really the personal assistant stuff. Stuff is not the best word. Probably should have a more professional term in the workplace. And I think we'll look back on like the Siri era, Google Assistant Siri era, as in some ways like, you know, HTML 3 of the internet. Like it'll just seem so foreign of how slow it was. But I do think like you're going to see probably more innovation here in the next, say, 24 months than we saw in the last, you know, certainly, you know, 12 years of assistive technology. So what do you think, like, what do you think is still lacking from, again, like, just think about like even some of like Apple Intelligence, which is, you know, somewhat obviously delayed, but just the whole ecosystem of personal assistants on our devices. What do you feel like is missing from it?
Yeah. I think each product has its own nuances, so I won't like jump too much into like Siri's shortcomings, but we can talk about that, in a bit too. I'd say broadly, if you think about how there's kind of two types of products, there's voice only products up until this point, which has been Siri, Alexa, Google Assistant. The devices like a Google Home or Alexa are designed with no interface or screen. So you've got voice-only experiences, and then you've had UI-only experiences, which we can think of as just apps on your phone, and apps where you pull up, you tap, and you type. And these have kind of been, you know, two totally opposite ways of interacting with software. And voice assistants have been nice because they're hands-free, but the downside is that you have to play a game of 10 questions whenever you want to get something done. And you lack the control that you have if you're opening up an app. If you're opening up an app, you tap and you type, you know, 10 times, and it's very familiar to us, and you know exactly what you're going to get. Because you're specifically like typing in the person you're going to send a message to, or you're tapping, you know, the toppings that you want on your pizza. So you've had voice-only interfaces that are hands-free, but kind of tedious for anything more than a one-step action. And then you've got apps or UI-only interfaces that are less convenient in that you have to actually like tap and type, but you have full control. And you can do multi-step actions. So you've kind of had this divide where nothing has been able to be both convenient and useful at doing multi-step things. And so that to me has been the big problem that has kept voice assistants from becoming anything more than kind of, you know, what's the weather, tell me a joke, set a timer, et cetera. To us, the big thing that's missing is we need to figure out how to unify these two. The future is not going to be voice only. The future is not going to be UI only. It's probably going to be something in between where you have an interface that you can look at. And if you want, you can tap and you can type, but you can also talk. And it really, you know, fits any use case or any situation that you need. that's what's going to unlock us being able to do any multi-step action that you can do on the internet. And so that's what we think is missing. That's also kind of, you know, what we think a lot about too when we're building Hero System. Does that kind of make sense?
It does. And, you know, I'm thinking about the voice interactions and, you know, outside of situations to where like you can't tap on a screen or type, like in the car, for example, or you're walking, like the cognitive load of having to think through like how to speak to a voice assistant, like today's voice assistant technology, the cognitive load of that, you might as well just type. Like it's actually faster to just type and just to do it. So I think that, and then I think what I really feel like what is in some ways missing is more of like the, what you would get from an executive assistant, like just that proactiveness, like of like, I'm thinking ahead for you, versus like me having to be reactionary. Just like, this is like a dumb example, but you know, let's say that I live outside of the city, but you know, I have three meetings in the city next Friday, but my car is also due for maintenance. And the some sort of, you know, like if you had an executive assistant, they could even be thinking through like, oh, we should actually get that handled while you're there. Drop it off at 8:30. We'll have Uber pick you up, take you, like, you know, and it's like handling that for you where you're not like having to think like, oh, I should do that. Like, it's more of like proactive than like letting you. And again, it's not about like where you're an autonomous person, but it's taking away that it's like menial tasks that you're having to think about now. But then I think just even the reliability is like until these things, and I look at like smart homes, it's like the light switch is every 100% of the time. And I love like HomeKit, and you know, I write HomeKit weekly for 9to5Mac. Like I love smart home stuff. Yeah. It's still not there 100% of the time. Like it's gotten a lot better, like even the past couple years. Like I don't see like the no response error and things like that. But you're like, when every time that doesn't work, you just feel like kind of a moron. And the same thing with Siri, you're just kind of like, well, why am I, and you're just like mad at it. And so I think that for me is kind of been the challenge, but then it's like, you even think through like, okay, these are like siloed platforms, and that in and of itself is a challenge. And so do you think like kind of the future here is like a platform that's really just connecting various APIs?
Yeah, I think, I mean, you bring up, I probably should have said at the beginning of my answer, there's like 10 things that are missing in terms of, you know, getting to the next, you know, a truly useful assistant. And like what you're hitting on is a bunch of them. It's, you need to have, like an EA has all the context of your life. They also know your preferences and can personalize it over time. And then finally, they can take actions. And so, yeah, kind of what I was mentioning on the interface is kind of like the last piece that I think no one really talks about as much as they should. But do I think the end state is a platform that has all of that context, has your, you know, preferences and can personalize it, and then also can take actions? Yes, I do think that's like the end. And if that's the case, then the final step is just connecting it to more and more services. And you can either connect it to, you probably start by connecting it to all the APIs that exist currently. And then eventually you're going to go beyond APIs where, you know, the majority of websites on the internet right now don't have APIs. And so then you start to have, you'll probably have some sort of like a browser API that does the same thing for all the websites that don't have APIs. And you end up having that one end-to-end assistant for you capable of doing everything you can do on the internet instantly. So I very much agree.
Well, it kind of reminds me of even like thinking through like the way, you know, Zapier does connecting things like in the enterprise. And it's like that to me is like the model of like what I want to see, where like,
yeah,
there's a thing that just connects a bunch of things and things happen automatically. And again, you and I were talking, you know, before we recorded it, and like, I don't want to like, when I think of like Gen AI, people are like, oh, you know, it'll be like nobody really, everything's happening with AI. It's like, I actually like have a more maybe nuanced view of it, or like pro human view of it. Like I want things like Gen AI and these, you know, really, really advanced personal assistants, I want them to be not where it's like texting my friends for me, but give me more time to connect with those people in person and like to handle more of the things that are me clicking around doing things. Like I don't want to have to think about that, where it's almost like the, what you eventually think is like, this is like the Jetsons. Like I think in some ways, like maybe the Jetsons is the end state where you're like, you watch the, because I'm probably aging myself. There's probably people listening to the show that have never, ever watched the Jetsons. And Brad, I don't know how old you are. You may have never watched the Jetsons, but like, if you go on YouTube and like look up the Jetsons, like things were just like happening automatically. And that's kind of like what, in some ways, like you're wanting to see where like just so much of your life, the mundane is simplified. And so you can just like spend more time doing things that you enjoy with the people you enjoy. But what do you see like, well, I guess like maybe ask this question, like when Gen AI became like this, like mainstream thing a couple of years ago, it was like, oh, everything was just like a wrapper on OpenAI's API. And then people are like, oh, like the wrapper, everything, these wrappers go out of business. Really, the only thing that matters is like the LLM. And then we've seen like a huge growth in like LLMs over the past maybe 6 months. Everybody's back to like the wrapper is the secret sauce. Do you think it's about the wrapper or it's about the LLM? And do you think they're going to be like, there's going to be like almost like app stores of LLMs people can use?
I think this is like the big question that everyone's asking. I have a pretty like clear, point of view on this, which is if you kind of zoom out, you know, over the last 20 years or so, the most valuable products and companies are always the one that's closest to the user. That's the point that has the highest leverage and, you can monetize it the best, and everything, you know, under that layer, you can swap out and can become commoditized over time. So if you just look at kind of the most valuable companies on the NASDAQ, like we're talking, you know, Google, Meta, et cetera, these are ones who are closest to the user. And I don't think that's a coincidence. And so I think it will continue to be that way in the future. We had this little kind of short period where the bottleneck actually was the LLM. It wasn't smart enough to be able to do what we wanted it to do. And so everyone's focus momentarily shifted to that. But we're now getting to a point where the vast majority of things that I do on a daily basis, an LLM is smart enough. And so we're now going to shift back pretty hard to what it's always been. The most valuable companies and products are the ones that are closest to the user, with some sort of a network effect, and have a sticky integrated product. And that's kind of like our point of view. That's why we've, you know, always stayed focused on the application layer. And I think in general, like the term wrapper is something that is just going to be a blip. People aren't going to use that term in the future.
No, I think it's a fair point. And like, I've mentioned this on past shows, so people probably get sick of me saying the same thing, but like I'm old enough now to have watched like tech trends repeat themselves, or like, or not repeat, but like they rhyme. Like you can kind of like see trends and you're like, this seems similar to the thing I saw in the 90s. And like, this is how it went. And this was like the things that everybody said that could, the reason couldn't happen. And it's like, yeah, I mean, again, I mentioned on past shows, like I remember, you know, like in the mid 90s when people back, I would never put my credit card on the internet. Like never, it's never going to be sure. It's like, my gosh, paying for things on the internet may be the most secure way to pay for things now, with biometric technology and Apple Pay and things like that. Something that's like kind of been stuck with me. And we kind of alluded to it, like, you know, with the personal assistant stuff, like we've really not seen much evolution of like today's crop of personal assistants, like maybe the legacy ones, like the mainstream ones. And it was even thinking of like the last maybe decade in tech. And my gosh, we've not done much in some ways. Like you're talking about like, and maybe in some ways, like I have too high expectations, but I think of like, let's say 2005 to 2015. My gosh, we did a lot. Like, a lot came out of Silicon Valley.
Totally.
2015 to 2025. Like, I mean, obviously, like on the business side, there's a ton of stuff that come out, like on the enterprise side, like various tools. I'm talking like consumer technology. Yeah. 2005 to 2015 was massive. 2015 to 2025, like, we got AirPods. Like, yep. I can't think of anything. Like, everything was like, and I'm not saying like that Apple's not like launched cool new products. Like, I think Apple, I mean, maybe Apple Silicon. That's probably fair. I probably am discounting Apple Silicon. Apple Silicon AirPods. But outside of that, like, everything's been like cool revisions. Like, the iPhone's gotten like a lot better. PCs have gotten a lot better, but like, there's not been like this earth shattering thing. Like, we've kind of, in some ways, I don't know what's it. Maybe we're just like waiting on technology to catch up. Like, it feels like a lost decade in a way, but I also think like we're about to embark on a really impressive decade.
Yeah, I 100% agree. Even Apple Silicon, though, was it's not an end experience. It's just making your phone more powerful. So I would even argue that that wasn't that significant. It's more of an enabling.
Fair.
Yeah.
And maybe we needed like – maybe like it's like these kings come in kind of waves where like you have a decade of like things that really impact the end user. But then you need a period of time where like you kind of build the next generation of underpinnings. So like the next generation of like hardware infrastructure. And so maybe we're coming out of that. Where do you see like the end state here with AI and enterprise? And again, this is where I want to talk. Like, so you're the CEO of Hero Assistant. Like what's Hero? What are you all building? What's the core problem you're solving? And like, where are you thinking about this 10 years from now? So 10 years from now, Hero Assistant has solved, you've accomplished all the things you set out to solve roadmap wise. Where are we at?
Yeah. I think currently, and you kind of alluded to this in terms of like logistics and a personal assistant should actually free you up in terms of time. If you think like currently day to day, the percentage of your time that's spent thinking about what you want to do, and then the percent that's spent actually doing the thing. It's like, you know, 5% of the time you're thinking about what to do, and then 95% you're just like trudging through emails and trying to find times with people and trying to figure out how to set up a website and trying to, you know, write your next article. I think it's going to flip, where you're going to spend 95% of the time in the morning thinking about what you want. And then the last like 5% will largely be, you know, the click of a button or, you know, just instructing what you want. And I think that that's going to apply both in personal life and in work life. And I actually think you're also going to see kind of a merge of personal and work life, where if you think currently, we talk a lot about work-life balance, and that's because we mentally have like separated these two things. But especially post-COVID, I think we saw like a big shift where, you know, people are trying to, you're realizing that things are kind of merged, especially if you're working remote, if you have a family, and you look at your calendar and you're trying to kind of share calendars. And if you've got a doctor appointment at 4 p.m., you put a hold on your calendar, or you tell your, you know, coworkers that you're going to be out at this time now and you have to reschedule. So I think we're going to see those two big things. You're going to spend a lot more time thinking about what to do and a lot less time on actually doing logistics, which is great because that should free us up. And I think that's you know, much more fulfilling part of, you know, most people's lives. Imagine if I can just, you know, think of who I want to meet up with over the weekend, or if I can just think of, you know, at work, who do I need to check in with that I haven't talked to in the last month or so. If I just spend my time doing that and then I click a button and boom, you know, we now have time scheduled. And I'm able to talk to them tomorrow because there's no back and forth required. So that's going to be one big thing. And then the second big thing of, you know, this not having to think of, you know, this big friction between your work and your personal life and how these two relate. I think you're going to start to just be able to say, you know, this is what I want out of my life. I want to make sure that I'm able to do pickups and drop offs, you know, from 4 to 5. And I want to make sure no one's scheduling over that. And I want to, you know, incorporate my personal preferences to be able to find the job that I love. And you're going to have your one personal assistant that understands every aspect of your life and is able to, you know, create this like perfect balance for you. So that's ultimately kind of where we see things going from a positive point of view for people. Now, to the second part of the question of what are we building? So we're creating Hero Assistant, and we think that this is kind of the first step towards that longer term future, where we're creating a single app to run your daily life. And it's on iPhone currently, eventually it'll be on Android as well. But we think the first big step towards creating a truly useful personal assistant is that we need to bring your life into one place. Right now, the average person jumps between 40 different apps throughout the week. And throughout the day, you feel this too. You're jumping in and out of different apps. And none of these apps work together. And none of them work with your partner or your family or your friends or even your coworkers to a certain extent, depending on what we're talking about. And so we're bringing your life into one place. Right now, it replaces 7 apps. So you've got your work and personal calendar right next to each other. You can toggle them on and off. You've got your to-dos. You've got your notes. You can order groceries. You can overlay the weather right on your calendar so you know what to wear for work that day. And everything works with others. So I can just pull to the right and I can see, oh, my wife is in a meeting right now. I should probably wait to give her a call. Everything not only works with others, but also works with voice. And so I can just say, schedule time with Bradley next week, Wednesday at 4 p.m. And I can do that all with one hand. And that may sound simple, but that's something that actually, you know, today's assistants can't do. And so that's what we're building right now, a single app to run your daily life. Admittedly, it's been a little more focused on the personal side, but we think that's partly we need to kind of create something that you want to use in your personal life and then extend it to work, which is very much kind of Apple's mindset. Where Apple started off, we want to create something so great that you want to use as a in your personal life. And then, you know, naturally here we are all using, you know, MacBooks for work. And so that's kind of the first step. The value proposition or why people are using Hero right now is pretty simple. We found that when your whole life is in one place, the benefit is that you never forget anything. And what I mean by that is when you've got, you know, where you need to be and what you need to do right next to each other, and you're not jumping between, you know, reminders app and calendars, you just end up not forgetting to do something. And when I can also just say, remind Jenny, and it just instantly sends to her, now between me and my wife, we're not forgetting anything. And we have this really powerful feature called can't miss notifications where, it's one of the only apps that I know of that can actually make a sound even when your phone is on silent, which is super powerful. And it's, it makes it so that, you know, I can say, remind Jenny to, you know, pick up the kids at 4 p.m. and her phone will actually make a sound. And so we found that, you know, people are using it so that you never forget. And on top of that, they're finding that it's really great to coordinate with your partner so you feel like you're on the same team together. And so that's kind of our initial wedge, but very quickly we're adding, you know, more use cases. We just launched habits and goals yesterday. We're going to be launching the first scheduling agent that you can kind of think of as a better version of Calendly, coming up in the next couple weeks or a few weeks, and it's just going to continue from there. So ultimately, building to that final state that we just talked about.
Sounds great. I mean, the scheduling, I think that's a huge problem, especially if you're, it's one thing, like 1 to 2 people, but like when you're trying to coordinate schedules among like 3 or 4 different like people at work and like travel and just, you know, again, there's a lot of room for innovation there. I'm really excited about it. Again, like I said, I feel like this is some ways we've had a lost decade of like new in user experiences. And so I'm hopeful that the next 10 years is kind of, we can get back to what we felt in for like the 05, the 2015 period. Brad, we'll have a link to Hero Assistant in the show notes. This is, you know, obviously like as a, as a user of technology, I want you all to absolutely crush it. So best of luck to you. Keep us posted on what's new, and let's go build some new generation of tools to, again, in some ways allow us to be less focused on the technology and more focused on what's in real life, but let the technology work behind the scenes for us. So it's really, really cool. But again, thanks everybody for listening this week. Brad, thanks for your time, and we'll see everybody next week.
Cool. Thanks, Bradley.